You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
This is MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition. I'm Anthony Cashman, joined by Rhett Bollinger, and talk about this 2014 Twins season that's winding down and kind of a look back and a little bit of a look ahead to 2015 for a team that's obviously in transition. And Rhett, I guess the biggest focal point as we are here in the final week of the regular season and looking ahead to the winter ahead, the biggest question mark is who's going to be guiding the ship next year. Is it going to be Ron Gardenhire yet again? He's under contract for 2015. You know, and talking with Twins people a couple weeks ago, I got the sense it's ultimately going to be up to Gardy, you know, what decision he wants to make. You get the sense that, you know, is he enlivened a bit by the kind of young bodies on hand, or is he kind of worn down with the, you know, the four seasons now of 90 lost seasons? It's really rare for a manager to come back from four of those. What is your sense on Gardy at this point?
It's tough to say. As you're right, I think that the, you know, ownership isn't going to fire him, I don't believe. I think if anything, it's going to be up to him. I think they understand the fact that he hasn't really had too much to work with the last 4 years. I still think, truthfully, I'd be surprised if he stepped down, but it wouldn't, at the same time, it totally wouldn't shock me because of all the struggles they've had. But I think he's still into it. I mean, the big thing right now is a lot of young players are playing. The players are getting into it. I mean, they're down. I mean, there was a game against the Tigers down 6-0 on Monday where, you know, they're facing Max Scherzer and you think, okay, they could easily roll over here. But instead, they scored 6 runs. Of course, they ultimately lost a game late, and it happened a lot this season. But it seems like, you know, the offense and all these young players from Danny Santana to Kenny Vargas, mixing with some of these veterans like Maurer and Trevor Plouffe been a lot better, Brian Dozier. I mean, the offense has been pretty good. And then the guys, you know, he hasn't lost the clubhouse at all. So in that sense, I still think there's still a good chance he'll be back. It wouldn't totally shock me if, you know, he decided to step down just because there has been so much losing and because he'd be going into the last year of his contract without really much guarantee beyond that, in a sense, knowing right. That really next year the team should be better, but we don't really know how much better until we kind of see how much better the rotation can get. And truthfully, the biggest thing this year was, no matter who the manager was, the starters posted the worst ERA in the majors. No matter who the manager is, you really can't fix that.
That's true. Yeah, that's no manager has guided a rotation with a 5+ ERA to the World Series, I don't believe. We'd have to look that up, but I'm pretty confident with that one. Actually, Gardy could be in really rare company, but maybe it's not so rare by Twin standards, because the only other manager since World War II to have four straight 90 loss seasons and come back for a fifth season is Tom Kelly, his predecessor. So Twins, obviously a very faithful organization, and a rare organization on the managerial front, but see how that all shakes out. But Rhett, you mentioned the rotation, you mentioned the offense. The offense is the best on a runs per game average, best it's been since 2010, but the rotation has really dragged things down yet again this season. Obviously, a lot of money next year tied up to Ricky Nolasco, even Mike Pelfrey, who went out with the injury this year. They bring in Tommy Malone this year. He's struggled. Trevor May, the prospect they called up, he's had his struggles. Do you see much opportunity there, financially, to do something? Probably not to the level they did last winter when they signed Nolasco and Phil Hughes, but do you see any opportunity to shake things up there, or are they going to have to count on these guys to bounce back in a significant way next year?
I mean, they always could. I mean, they have the payroll flexibility. If they really want to go after a top-tier guy like a James Shields type to kind of go top of the rotation with Hughes, they have the financial capability. Obviously, it takes two to tango, and you never know if some of these, you know, top-tier type starting pitchers really want to go to a place where they're kind of still in the rebuilding stages. But truthfully, they have the financial capability to sign somebody to kind of mix things up. Because right now, Phil Hughes has established himself as, you know, the ace of the rotation. And beyond him, there's definitely some options. I mean, Kyle Gibson had a decent first year in the majors, kind of up and down here and there, but I think the Twins are pretty confident he'll make a little bit of a jump forward next year and be better and be a part of that rotation, even if he's in the back end of it. And Nolasco has to be better, unless somehow, it surprised me that unless they found some sort of taker this offseason or some sort of trade, maybe a salary dump type deal, just given how much he struggled. But at the same time, Nolasco has been better the last few weeks since he came back from his elbow soreness, and he really, you know, truthfully, based on his track record, shouldn't be as bad as he's been. So if he can get better and Gibson can get better, And then hopefully May, as a rookie, kind of gets better next year too. Alex Meyer's still a top prospect. They have Mike Pelfrey coming back. He's really struggled throughout his Twins career, but he's still under contract for next season. He'll be in that mix for sure, as will Tommy Malone be in that mix. So really they have options. They have a good seven or eight different guys they could kind of try out there in spring training. But outside of, you know, maybe Hughes and perhaps Gibson, and obviously Nolasco's a veteran, there's not too many guys that are set in stone in that rotation yet. So really, yeah, if they wanted to add another rotation piece with the kind of payroll flexibility they have, they could. And truthfully, it wouldn't be the worst idea, considering, as you said, you know, to have an ERA above five in the starting staff isn't going to cut it. And part of it, too, though, is the defense. They need to improve their defense for next year, too, if they want to be better, because a lot of it, truthfully, has just been some of the poor defense in the corner outfield, that kind of thing, that has hurt these pitchers this year. But absolutely, the rotation is going to be the biggest key, thanks for next season.
Well, if they could just find another bargain like Phil Hughes, they'd be in really good shape. That signing has worked out about as well as any other from last winter, maybe even better than any other from a starting pitching standpoint, just when you think about the however you want to apply it, the dollars per ERA or innings, or certainly by strikeout-to-walk ratio, which is one of the greatest all time, if not the greatest. And Kyle Gibson cut his home run rate in half. That's been big for him. So there are some things to work with there, rotation, but certainly something they'll have to continue to address going forward. Rhett, what do you think of Joe Mauer coming off a season, or will be coming off a season in which, you know, made the full-time move to first base that was geared towards, you know, hopefully keeping him healthy and keeping his bat effective in that lineup. He had a really really tough first half on both fronts, rebounded a bit in the second half. What do you make of Mauer's season? You're the guy who's owed another, I believe, about $90-92 million over the next 4 years. What do you think they're going to get out of Mauer going forward? What are your thoughts on him at this point?
Yeah, it was a tough year for him. I mean, obviously, they had big expectations for him, you know, moved away from catcher, thinking, okay, he can stay healthy at first base. Perhaps he can get for a little bit more power because he's not dealing with all the, you know, squatting behind the plate and all the catcher's exercises, and even how much time he spent with the pitchers. You know, talking to the pitchers about game plan, now he could kind of focus all of his energy on hitting and you know, obviously on fixing his defense or improving his defense at first base as a new position. But it didn't really work out that way. I mean, he's been hurt a couple times. He had an oblique injury that kept him out for over a month. Dealt with some back spasms early in the year, too. And the power really hasn't showed up. And by his own standards, his slugging percentage is way down. His batting average is, you know, in the 280s, which is rare for him. But at the same time, I mean, I think it's more of a blip on the radar. I mean, based on his track record as how good of a hitter he's been, I have to figure that next year he'll be better. I think the Twins do too. I mean, because last year before the concussion, he was still a very, very good hitter. And, you know, obviously I think he probably was the best hitting catcher last year, winning a Silver Slugger. So, I mean, it's one of those things where he's got to get better next year, and I think he will. I think maybe being more comfortable at first base will help him out too, not having to worry about that side of it. And if he can get healthy and maybe find a better routine for next year, you got to figure. I mean, with how good of a hitter he's been throughout his career, there's no way he's just going to fall off like that. He's still only 30. It's not like he's that old or that far past his peak. But he's going to be key for them. I mean, going forward, as you said, he's definitely under contract, I think, through 2018. So they have a lot more years of him left. And with that kind of money, with that kind of salary, he definitely needs to produce, especially when he's playing first base instead of catcher. There's a higher kind of level of expectation for a first baseman to hit, and he didn't really reach it this year. But I do think the Twins do believe that he'll get back to his old ways next season. And he's kind of showed a little bit of that in the second half since he's been healthy coming off that oblique injury.
Yeah, and team-wide, we mentioned the offensive improvement in general. It's not a total mirage by any stretch of the imagination. Brian Dozier and Trevor Plouffe, what they've done in the infield, and Santana and Vargas and Arcia, those guys, that's a nice group with, you know, some pop and some speed. The Twins have some nice weapons offensively, but obviously, you know, thinking long-term, Rhett, you know, there's a lot of attention placed on the prospects, Byron Buxton and Miguel Sano. You know, these are guys who really make up a big part of their future. And one of the key storylines from 2014 was just the struggle to get those guys on the field. Sano obviously missed the whole season with elbow surgery, and Buxton with a wrist sprain and concussion. He's hasn't had much time out there at all. He'll play in instructs to get some time. But what's kind of the final analysis of the year for the farm system? I should mention that Eddie Rosario struggled at Double A, another guy who's highly touted. So really not a great year for their top prospects. What are your thoughts on that, and how things look? What's the outlook for 2015 for those guys?
Yeah, it definitely was a tough year for them. I mean, the year before, obviously the Twins struggled too, but their minor league system was great. Last year with, Buxton really breaking out and Sano, Rosario, these guys are all top prospects. So the Twins had a lot of hopes for these guys coming out this year, especially Sano and Buxton, thinking, okay, if these guys can hit and do well down in the minors, they'll be up maybe by midsummer. Worst case, September call-ups and get a taste of it. I think the Twins were thinking this year, having spent all that money on Nolasco, Hughes, and Pelfrey, even bringing in Suzuki, some of these, free agents, thinking, okay, Twins probably weren't going to, win the division or anything like that, but at least kind of build a bridge to next year. This year, maybe get closer to 500, have a better rotation, work in some of these prospects like Buxton and Sano. It just didn't work out that way at all. Obviously, the rotation struggled, and then, Sano hurt his elbow in spring training and had Tommy John, and now he's out till next season. There's a chance maybe he could do some winter ball, but the Twins kind of are hesitant to do that because they'd rather monitor him because they don't want to go to Dominican and play for these teams. They're trying to win instead of monitoring his own elbow and his own progress. And Buxton obviously had the wrist injuries all year, finally gets to Double A, and his very first Double A game, he suffers a concussion running into another outfielder. But he's supposed to go to Instructs in the Arizona Fall League, so at least that will kind of give him a positive note, hopefully, to end the season on. But definitely a rough year because I think the Twins definitely thought that Sano and Buxton, everything went right. We're both going to be in the majors at some point this year, kind of get a taste of it. And then next year, they'd already have their feet wet and kind of be a part of that team next year. And now it looks like, at the very least, or at least they could be there, is maybe, mid-summer, late summer, maybe even September call it for Buxton if he needs more time. So it's just kind of tough for them because they really definitely wanted these prospects to be a big part of this year. And to their credit, at least, Danny Santana and Kenny Vargas, two guys were definitely were not as heralded as the others stepped in and really were very good this year as rookies. So at least that's kind of good for next season, and they think they'd be a part of next year, whether Santana's at short or center, or if, Vargas is at DH, I'm going to guess, obviously, with Maurer at first. And then hopefully at some point you can get Buxton up there, play some third, although Plouffe's definitely played well enough, it's tough for him to kind of lose his job. But at the same time, Sano's the future there at third, and Buxton's the future in center, and I think at some point we'll see them next year, but definitely tough that they didn't make it up there this year.
Yeah, it was a tough year from that perspective. But, again, some strides offensively. And really, it seems like the Twins, as far as next season, making marked improvements, is going to come down to them going out this winter and maybe finding another Phil Hughes or someone of that ilk, someone who's either a bounce-back candidate or maybe they just buy high and add another front-of-the-rotation type of arm. So that'll be interesting to see this winter, and want to thank you guys for listening in here this season. We'll continue to talk about the Twins in future podcasts as the offseason plays out. I want to thank Rhett Bollinger for joining us as well. This has been MLB.com Extras, Minnesota Twins edition.
Catch all of the second half action on MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service. Watch every out-of-market game stream live online or on the go in true HD. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 14 subscription, allowing you to watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.